You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
NFL Total Access is a production of the NFL in partnership with iHeartRadio.
It's Friday, April 26th, and you're listening to NFL Total Access, the podcast.
That is the voice of today's special guest, the host of the NFL Total Access post-draft coverage last night, tonight, and tomorrow. Stay with NFL Network or flip over to NFL Network at the conclusion of draft day two to watch this man lead the analysis, the context, the stories behind the stories, and yeah, a little judgment too of rounds two and three, picks 33 through 100. This man is a lottery pick around here. He's the sweet potato kid. He's Mike Yam. Welcome back to the pod, Yammer.
You know, I had some days off leading into our draft coverage. I was listening to this podcast to get caught up on a lot of stuff. Can I just throw this out here? I think the Mark Ross episode might have been one of my more favorite ones. And if you are a draft junkie, I'm just telling you, you can actually listen to that podcast because I know you guys dipped into some of the players. So yeah, like that's fine. But the strategy behind what's actually happening in the draft rooms, I think, is fascinating stuff. So not every episode's a one and done. Like, there's some legs on that one.
Mike Yam, thank you for listening and thank you for saying that. Mike will lead quarterback Chase Daniel and running back Maurice Jones-Drew on tonight's NFL Total Access, our nightly post-draft recap special. Chase was an absolute machine of a college quarterback, record-setting numbers, impeccable rep, went undrafted, and then wore an NFL uniform for 14 seasons. Maurice, top 10 talent, but worries about his height conspired against him. MJD fell to the 60th pick of the second round, and then, well, he was an NFL rushing champ. So look, MJD incidentally wore the number 32 in the NFL as a silent protest that 32 NFL teams passed on him in that 2006 first round. Okay, Mike Yam, let's turn to this moment. 32 teams passed on running backs yesterday. They also passed on safeties and on linebackers. And in some years, that might have been a story or even the story. Just not this year.
Six quarterbacks in the first dozen picks.
That's right. The first round of the 2024 NFL draft was a run on quarterbacks. Three straight to start the day.
Caleb Williams, Jaden Daniels, Drake May.
Mike Yam, you saw it. Caleb Williams at one, screaming, joyful, enjoying the moment. A bit casual on the phone for me when he got the word, but we tend to look too closely for things like that in days like these, and it's probably unfair. Mike, you told me, specifically, you told me 2 years ago that this is the best quarterback prospect since Andrew Luck, which probably pisses Joe Burrow off a little bit, but all to say the Bears have their guy. Then they got their guy, a wideout in Rome Odunze at nine, that have some saying that this rounds out one of the better offensive rosters in the NFL. A lot of reasons for Bears fan to be excited today.
You should be thrilled if you are a Chicago Bears fan, because not only do you have your quarterback of the future, you have arguably the best wide receiver in the class. Now, I think some people will say, well, what about Marvin Harrison? What about Malik Nabers? All I'm telling you is the people that we know, that we're friends with, that have done the evaluations, all seem to think that those three guys, it almost doesn't matter. They all are going to have a ton of success in the NFL. And who knows, system and fit and all those types of things are going to matter. But along with Caleb and Rome Odunze, you made reference to it. We already got DJ Moore in the fold, right? We already got Keenan Allen in the fold. We got DeAndre Swift, who showed he could flash in a Philadelphia uniform, who's now wearing a Chicago Bears uniform. You have to feel supremely confident now in your offense. And the biggest question is, is there a lag for Caleb Williams in week one? How long will it take for him to be the difference maker that a lot of people think he can be?
Same questions being asked potentially of Jaden Daniels now in Washington. Jaden Daniels at two. He looked joyful. He looked a bit relieved, which, Mike, made me happy because he didn't love the quarterback summit, some are calling it, that the Commanders had not long ago when they had team visits for more than one quarterback prospect at the same time. Apparently, Jaden didn't love that. And by the way, I totally get that. Do you have any reason to think that Adam Peters didn't make the right pick?
I think Jaden Daniels was pushing Caleb maybe more than some people think. I think he's a supreme talent. It makes sense to me that Jaden Daniels was going to be the second quarterback taken off the board. But that quarterback summit that you made reference to, I get why you and Jaden Daniels, and I'll throw myself into the mix, wouldn't love it.
Wouldn't love that.
All I would say, though, is everything that these guys do for, I don't know, the last couple years to get to this point, which was last night and being selected as one of the top 32 players coming out of this class, you're on display. And that's a social media post. That's how you treat people in training table, just because the scouts they're doing their homework. They're talking to everyone. And I can't help but think that there's like a psychological test.
It definitely smacked of a psychology experiment.
Yeah.
Let's see how you do when other people who are vying for your job, your pick, your shine are in the room with you. I get it. That makes sense in a corporate retreat,
sure.
Right? If we're going to go zip lining out in the desert or some such thing, Mike. I don't love it for this because I think that these men have already been picked over. These young men have already been picked over by that point.
Sure.
But everybody has their thing. Josh Harris has a history of making very wise decisions on behalf of his companies. This is his company now, the Washington Commanders. So, you know, I'm not gonna spit in the wind on this one. But the fact is, it did leak out that a lot of the guys were a little perturbed to look around and see other quarterback prospects in the room with them. But they made it good with Jaden Daniels, and hopefully Jaden Daniels can make it good for the Washington Commanders. Mike Robb's take on this was kind of interesting. And he gave this take on this pod in anticipation of Jaden Daniels going second. He said, look, I know Dan Quinn quite well. And Dan Quinn, in his first opportunity as a head coach, was very likely scarred by what he saw as limitations. Yes, even from an MVP quarterback in Matt Ryan in that epic 28-3 reversal in the Super Bowl, that it was his lack of mobility on that key 3rd and 9
sure.
where he took the sack on a couple of other plays. His lack of mobility may have been the undoing of that offense and that Falcons team in that Super Bowl. Mike Robb said Dan Quinn is not going to make the same mistake again. Jaden Daniels has mobility, has some range. He is, in fact, a dual threat quarterback.
Yeah.
You suggested that he was pushing Caleb Williams. Was Jaden Daniels pushing Caleb Williams more so and closer than Drake May and the other guys were pushing Jaden? Is the gap between 2 and 3 larger than the gap between 1 and 2?
I think it's a great question. I tend to think, and look, we'll never know, right? Because New England ended up taking Drake May. Depending on who you talk to, some people like Michael Penix better than Jaden Daniels. Like Brian Baldinger, whose eyes I trust, I don't trust anyone's eyes more than Baldy's, right? Baldy had Michael Penix as number 2 on his quarterback rankings.
Didn't he?
He didn't have Jaden Daniels there. So that's the only reason why I hedge, because I think it's in the eye of the beholder, right? Like
yeah,
who likes what skill set? Here's what I can tell you on the Michael Penix front, because I actually like Mike, and he would have been 3 for me. I actually think, to me, it was those 3 guys, and then there was a gap.
Okay, Mike, expected picks, I think you would say and agree, at 1 and 2. The questions really began at 3 last night, a pick many thought would be a movable pick,
yeah.
A pick that was for sale, considering just how many roster needs the Patriots currently have. But the Patriots keep the pick, they make the pick, and that pick is Drake May, who was quick to say, you heard it, I don't want to be the next Tom Brady, I just want to be the first Drake May. Mike Yam, is Drake May a prospect, a project, or a pro?
I think he's a prospect.
Okay.
I get concerned on some of the accuracy issues that we saw when we were watching some of the tape. Look, the conversation a year ago at this time was Caleb Williams or Drake May, who's going to be the number one pick. I think Caleb was in the pole position, never lost that spot. Drake did drop a touch. Now, not far, right? Because he ends up being the 3rd overall pick in the draft. But if it was me, I think New England just has a lot of holes on their roster. There's a reason why they're picking 3rd overall. I just don't know what the appetite was to move up. Maybe the Giants were interested. I don't know. Maybe there was not enough capital for Denver to move up. Maybe there wasn't enough capital for the Raiders to move up.
Look, you were doing coverage. You were sitting there on the set for the first 3
yeah.
picks as kind of a hot standby in case things went pear-shaped out in Detroit. And, of course, you bossed the coverage throughout the day and into the night with Total Access. So we heard that there were last-minute calls. There were probably a steady stream of calls for the last several days to the New England Patriots about that third pick. But some obviously nobody made an offer that was impossible to refuse.
Yeah, and that's really what it comes down to. And maybe that speaks more to the class than anything. Although the counter argument is, Mike, we've never seen six quarterbacks go in the first 12 picks. So you know, this class has got the potential to be there, but I would caution anyone. And look, I'm telling you, I like Caleb, I like Jaden, I like Michael Penix. The reality is we're not going to know. So if you are an NFL fan and your team went and drafted Bo Nix, if you're in Denver, or JJ McCarthy in Minnesota, we don't know, because where you are selected doesn't necessarily translate into guaranteed success. And maybe Caleb Williams isn't the best quarterback. He might be the best prospect, but it might not deliver that way. I will say this. Caleb, though, is inarguably the best situation of all the guys that were drafted in the first 12.
Okay, interesting. I have a question about that. You've already answered it, but we'll circle back on that. Marvin Harrison was taken fourth by the Cardinals.
Marvin Harrison Jr.
Mike M., I heard someone call this guy a can't-miss prospect. You buy that?
I think that's fair.
There's no such thing.
Of course
there's no such thing. But we look for, you know, we look for strata, and it seems like the elite guys, the guys that you can really count on, people are saying yes, Caleb. People are saying yes, Marvin Harrison Jr.
Look, it's being, what's your level of risk, right? And to me, Marvin Harrison is less risky based off of the evidence. The evidence is, look at what he's done in school. Look at the tape. Look at how he's matched up against Big Ten competition in big games. And he's delivered. So I think there's something to that. Same for Roma Dunze. It's hard to take your eyes off of Malik Nabers when he's got the football in his hands. And typically no one can chase him down. So I think we're all making the best educated guesses as possible.
First O-lineman was off the board at 5 to the Chargers.
Joe Alt. Tackle.
The second LSU Tiger was off the board at 6 to your Giants.
Malik Nabers.
Mike M. and Joe Shane, you trust? You like this pick? Malik Nabers' jersey being shipped as we speak to the Yam household?
It's actually a really good idea. I haven't had time to place the order on NFL.com. I do. I also was in the camp, and we were debating this in the green room while the draft was going on. MJD, Chase, and all of us who were together. I was comfortable with the Giants not taking a quarterback. And in fact, I would have been comfortable for them to move down in the draft as well. I think there's some holes that needed to be filled. We talked about this, 2 weeks ago, last time I was on the pod with you. We said, hey, what are the needs for the G-man? I said, hey, give me a playmaker. Give me a guy who can be a vertical threat legitimately. Jalin Hyatt I like, but it never really necessarily panned out. And I think part of the reason is three different quarterbacks that the Giants threw out there, whether it was Daniel Jones or Tyrod Taylor or Tommy DeVito. So there, you know, there were some names that were out there and it didn't get done. Malik Nabers is different than anything the Giants have had on their roster since OBJ. It's probably the closest thing that we can point to.
At 7, the Tennessee Titans take offensive lineman J.C. Latham. Trench warfare known to do well for the Powder Blue Boys of Davidson County. Mike, we said questions began at 3. Well, the crazy began at 8.
Michael Penix Jr.
Michael Penix going 8 to the Falcons after Atlanta made such a financial commitment to Kirk Cousins. Now, this one caught many of us by surprise. Was this a wow moment in the green room?
Let's just say that there was some audible whoa that had popped up while we were watching.
Okay, here's my real question, Mikey. And Penix at 8, wise pick or wasted pick?
You asked me this earlier today, and I said, I don't know where I net out on this. And I really do see both sides of the equation here.
Talk to me about the wisdom. What's the wisdom of the pick?
So I think first and foremost.
Is it obvious, just depth at the position?
Yeah. So we had 68 quarterbacks, right, that
started games last year.
Look, I just gave you the Giants scenario. Three different guys that were out there. We saw Minnesota trade for Josh Dobbs in the middle of the season because they were so desperate to get a guy in.
12 minutes later.
Yeah, exactly. So if 68 starting quarterbacks last season doesn't raise a red flag to the need for depth at that position, I don't know what else would. I also think that for Arthur Blank and really that organization, you're probably a little shell-shocked from a transition plan that never panned out following Matt Ryan. and a revolving door at that spot. So you say, damn, I don't want to go through this again. It's a gettable division. So Kirk Cousins, I think for some, might be seen as the missing piece, and you feel like you could win that division and you don't need that game changer at eight because you're that confident in a new head coach in Raheem Morris who might be able to fix some of the defensive issues, and Kirk Cousins just elevates what you've picked in the top 10 the last few years. You're also, if you're as good as you think you're going to be, you're not going to be picking in the top 10 next season, right?
Boom.
And
which is probably exactly what Raheem Morris did.
Yeah.
That was probably his pitch. Like, guys, we're going to be picking in the 20s and yes, even in the 30s in the years to come. This is probably our last chance for a while at a top 10 pick. And who knows, maybe like you, Mike Yam, maybe these guys, maybe Raheem Morris and the boys in Atlanta, the people in Atlanta, had Michael Penix as their third-rated quarterback like you did. And if that's the case and he's still available for us at eight, man, that is hard to go off of. Now let's talk about the flip side of the coin, which is that they may experience pangs of regret as we get closer to what, the playoffs?
Number one, Achilles injury for Kirk Cousins. Wasn't exactly the most athletic guy to begin with, right? So that becomes a little bit of an issue, although you can make an argument, not a mobile
that
quarterback.
That goes back to wisdom, though, so more depth at the position. A guy speeding toward 40, coming off of an ACL. I'm so glad we have Michael Penix. What is a scenario in which case the Falcons may look back on this and think, maybe we should have taken the best available, which wasn't Michael Penix?
So I used it as a pro, which is the division is gettable.
Yes.
And Kirk Cousins can put you over the top.
Yes.
I'll also say this, the division is gettable and the margins in the NFL are thinner than we all think.
Thin.
And maybe a game changer at eight could be the difference between winning that division or not.
So that would be the potential hindsight regret moment for the Falcons if they realize that who they could have taken, might have taken, would have taken in a different scenario at eight could have been the difference between making the playoffs, getting a playoff win, et cetera, et cetera. This is all theoretical, as you said right at the beginning, Mike Yam. We are making educated guesses here. These are informed opinions. You saw the joy in that Falcons war room. Raheem Morris was...
They were happy.
He was stoked, bro.
Yeah.
He was glad about that pick. So clearly, they got what they believe is a great value at a position of great need and obviously no higher interest than the position of quarterback in the NFL.
Can I use my analogy that I told
Please
you?
Please do.
So a couple days ago, as we were getting ready for Total Access, Drew Levy, your esteemed host of this podcast, announced to the group that he wanted to buy a $26,000 Rolex. Okay, he really didn't. We were just talking about watch people, and Drew and I don't really know much about watches, right? So I have like an Apple Watch.
About watches. We were doing a deep dive on watches, and we couldn't believe how expensive they were.
So some people are watch people that we work with, exactly. So they threw out some numbers. But think about this, right? Like, I have an... Do you wear a watch?
I don't.
Okay, I was just going to say...
Gracie wishes that I did because she bought me...
The Apple Watch,
she was pregnant. She bought me the Apple Watch, not as a gift, as a compulsory item. Get this on your freaking wrist, kid, because I have to be able to get hold of you at all times. And fair enough, during her pregnancy in the first year of Henry, I wore it. Now it's off.
It is the funny thing, because if people knew you, like, and they know you through this podcast, but I actually paused. And I was like, actually, I don't think you're a watch person
not
in general, like not even any type of watch. So I had said to you, hey, I wouldn't get insurance for essentially my fitness watch, right? Like I wouldn't. It's $200.
Oh, the insurance gambit.
But if I had the means, and trust me, I do not have the means to have a $26,000 Rolex watch, I would probably get insurance
for
it.
Yes, you would.
That insurance premium is probably pretty high for a luxury item like that.
Absolutely.
And Michael Penix is insurance for your $100 million investment in Kirk Cousins. It is a high premium to pay, and if you have to cash it out, you're going to be happy that you actually invested in that.
Michael Penix, one of six quarterbacks taken in the first 12 picks. Six in the first round, by the way, ties the all-time first-round draft number set back in that legendary draft of 1983.
Can
John Elway.
Oh, yeah, that's good.
Todd Blackledge.
Yeah.
Jim Kelly, Tony Eason, Ken O'Brien, and Dan Marino. Now, say what you will about the NFL careers of Blackledge, Eason, and O'Brien, but all three of those guys logged significant hours on NFL pitches. And of course, John Elway and Jim Kelly and Dan Marino, those six guys all went in the 83 draft. Unbelievable. Other records set on the quarterback side of things last night. 4-8. That was a first. 5 quarterbacks in 10 picks. That was a first. And of course, yes, 6-12. That was a record. Offense, all 10. of the top 10 picks were offensive players. In fact, 14 offensive players in a row to start the draft. That was a record. 23 offensive players in all. That was a record in the first round. 19 was the previous high. A pretty astonishing night in terms of a real announcement, a real declaration of intent from NFL front offices. Quarterback, this is a quarterback-driven league. Yeah, let's expand that definition. This is an offense-driven league, period. Make your peace with it. This is what we love. This is why we sit in the seats. This is why we watch. We love offense.
Yeah, it was awesome. 8 offensive tackles, by the way, in round number 1. That ties a record. The 7 wide receivers ties a record. I mean, the list goes on and on. By the way, I'm gonna do this, and I don't mean to do this because this is your show, but I'm going to take a hard right turn. I am so mad at myself right now because you told me earlier this week, you said, hey, can you do the pod? And I was like, yeah, of course. And I am so mad because my intention was to start this podcast by saying, Drew Levy, happy birthday.
Oh, thanks,
a couple
bro.
Days ago. And so I'm thinking about the Rolex watch and the whole thing.
Did you get me a $26,000 Rolex watch for my birthday?
Bad job by me. I told you I'd get you a 6-pack of Natty Ice as a treat, and I didn't even do that because of the draft stuff. So sorry for the middle of the podcast tangent here. Send your love and your positive vibes to Drew Levy.
Appreciate that very much, my brother. After the break of all the big moves on day one of the draft, and there were quite a few in the end, who made the best move? Who won day one? That and an angry question or two on behalf of NFL fans who may not have loved what they saw their team do last night or not do last night. That's next on NFL Total Access, the podcast.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower, 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day. And smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
You are listening to NFL Total Access, the podcast. Andrew Levy with Mike Yam and Mikey. After what they saw or didn't see on day one of the draft, some NFL fans have concerns. They have questions. You have answers. So let's get started. Bo Nix to the Broncos at 12. Desperation or design?
Oh, God. That might be the hardest question you ask me on this entire show. I go back and forth. I think, you know, the PR spin, you know, the day after the draft is, hey, this is a guy that they wanted the entire time. I turned to MJD last night during the show, and I said, are the Broncos disappointed or are they happy right now with the fact that they went 12 at Bo Nix? And he said they were happy because there was no other choice for them to make. They needed a quarterback. You know, before the Zach Wilson trade, they had 5 career starts in that quarterback room. Jarrett Stidham had 4. Zach Wilson's not the answer. It goes back to what we talked about with depth at the quarterback room. Hell, that Jets team knows exactly what I'm talking about.
You watched a lot of Bo Nix. There's a lot of upside here. He's 24 years old. He has 1,000 starts at the collegiate level. I saw a number. In fact, I think we broadcasted that number just the
61.
Other day. Of all Power 5 school quarterbacks over the last 5 years, he has the 3rd lowest depth of target over that 5-year span amongst Power 5 quarterbacks. So clearly, you know, it doesn't take a genius to figure out he's throwing it short, he's throwing it accurately, he's getting it out quickly. That's something that Sean Payton can work with. We saw that from Drew Brees his entire career.
30% of his passes at or behind the line of scrimmage at Oregon. So, yeah, it does inflate your completion percentage, which was terrific. I think it might have been 1 or 2 in FBS play. The guy's been able to handle 2 different environments in the SEC and the Pac-12, at Auburn, at Oregon. He's won games. I just hedge just because.
Wow, this is really not a convincing answer, Broncos fans. So the question was desperation or design. And maybe we can, net out here. Tell me if you agree that, yes, a little bit of desperation in terms of we desperately need a quarterback. The first 5 guys are off the board. Here we are at 12. Let's take the guy that we have as a first round or arguably first round rated guy. And we know that Sean Payton's design is such that he's going to be able to get the best out of Bo Nix. We have the right quarterback. We have the right coach, rather, for any quarterback. Let's make the move.
What's the gap between Bo Nix and Spencer Rattler? I honestly don't know the answer to that.
Is a very interesting question that we should follow up on in the days to come when we get some sample size from both of them on an NFL field. Let's turn to the next question. The QB covetous Raiders were unable to move up. First-round quarterbacks were gone by the time they were on the clock. They walk away with the highest-rated tight end in the draft, Brock Bowers, at 13. Mike Yam, no QB for Vegas on day one. Missed opportunity or accidental genius?
I love Brock Bowers. I really do. I look at what he was. I pointed this out last night on the broadcast. Last year's class, according to Daniel Jeremiah, was as good of a tight end class as we have ever seen before. Brock Bowers would have been the first tight end taken off the board in last year's draft. He is a ridiculous playmaker. And I think what's special about him is Gardner Minshew now comes into an offense where they needed, you know, a little bit of help on the offensive side. Bowers, check this out. Do we like Xavier Worthy?
Yes.
Okay. Do we like Marvin Harrison?
Yes.
Brock Bowers, one of three players.
Not exactly like for like. One guy is like, you know, yeah, 113 pounds soaking wet. That's Xavier Worthy. That's my concern about Worthy, is that he seems little to me, super fast.
Go catch him.
But yeah, go catch him. Exactly.
It's a perfect fit.
Yeah, fair enough.
So Brock Bowers is one of three players in the Power Five to have at least 2,500 receiving yards and at least 25 receiving touchdowns since 2021. Harrison and Worthy, the other guys. It's ridiculously good company. He is as dynamic a pass catcher as there is in this class, and the Raiders have been looking for the replacement for Darren Waller. I think Gardner Minshew might be the happiest guy after round one.
Translation, accidental genius. Mike Yam, the first defensive player, doesn't come off the board until Leiatu Latu is taken at 15 by the Colts. He's such a Colts story. He's such a Colts player. I think he's going to do so well in Indianapolis. But let's talk macro. Is this an indication of an offensive draft or an offensive draft? Have we oversteered here on behalf of offense?
It shouldn't have been 15 picks to get to a defensive player. That's a little ridiculous.
Does that turn the whole second half of round one and a lot of what we're about to see today on day two, potential steals of the draft, because these guys are going lower than they should?
I think they're going to see a run early round two of some really talented defensive guys. Like Kool-Aid certainly comes to mind as a guy that
Kool-Aid McKinstry,
who's going to have his name called off the board. Here's what's really intriguing about this. So there's two things that stand out to me about what we saw in the first 15 picks. Michael Penix had 8. Tell me the guy who did not finish seasons 4 consecutive years and was one of the first quarterbacks taken off the board, top 10 pick. That's Michael Penix. Now, he's healthy the last 2 years, and he's an aggressive thrower.
Because Mike's absolutely right. In 2018, 19, 20, and 21, those seasons were cut short by injury for Michael Penix. Now, he has famously, maybe not talked about enough, been injury-free for the last 2 seasons, but his past does haunt him, at least in the nerves, the concern of anybody who considered drafting him. And now, of course, that is the concern, or at least something that they will say is not a concern, of the Atlanta Falcons.
So he goes 8th overall. Leiatu Latu was medically retired.
Correct.
Told not going to play anymore. Neck injury. Worked himself back in, and he is the first defensive player off the board. Now, depending on who you talk to, he was the best guy, right? I don't want to put words, because I've seen so many damn mocks on NFL.com. I don't remember whose mock has got what, and they all change. But the point is, Latu on some of them was the first or the second player on defense taken off the board. And the Colts obviously didn't have a problem with it. So to me, it's just a little bit of a trend here. Not only is it weird with the first 14 picks being offensive guys, but with Latu on the defensive side being a guy coming off of, at least you got to be comfortable with the medicals, got to be comfortable with Penix's medicals, and both those guys, top 15 picks.
Okay, Mike Yam, who gets higher marks for discipline on day one, the Jets or the Cowboys? The Jets traded back and chose protecting their quarterback over arming their quarterback? Or would you give this award, the discipline award, for day one to the Cowboys, who traded back and chose what they needed, an offensive lineman, over what they may have wanted?
I think the Cowboys get the nod because they still get a position of need, and they just picked up a third-round pick, which is 73rd overall. You and I had speculated about this yesterday. We talked about it again this morning before we started recording. You and I, same wavelength. We think running back in that third round?
Yes. Did the Vikings overdraft J.J. McCarthy at 10, or is J.J. McCarthy the quarterback prospect in the best position to succeed, considering wide receivers Justin Jefferson, Jordan Addison, and the so-called quarterback whisperer at head coach, Kevin O'Connell?
The latter, well, maybe I was about to say the latter.
I mean, you said before, and I think that this is what triggered my memory of this question, you said before that you think Caleb Williams, based on what the Bears have done with that offense, is probably in the best position to succeed right away. Would you look at this Viking situation and call it equally enviable?
It's kind of a push. Jordan Addison is spectacular. Justin Jefferson, I would make an argument, is the best
wide receiver
one for me. So McCarthy's in a good spot. Hey, we had McCarthy on Total Access this week.
Yes, you did.
On Wednesday. Yeah, it was Wednesday. I don't even know the days of the week. Today's Friday. So Wednesday we had him on the show. I went from going, I don't really know, to legitimately happy for him, thrilled for
him. Did you like the kid? Love the kid. Went well.
Love the kid. Yeah. I was like, I really hope he has success. He comes off like that. He made a comment, and it wasn't to us, but when I was prepping the interview, I saw it. We just didn't have time to ask him about it. He said he would run through a wall for Kevin O'Connell.
Interesting.
Hello. I said that. I'm like, damn, this dude wants to be there. Joel Klatt on our coverage on NFL Network. Now, Joel obviously does a ton with Fox on the college side. He did a great job last night on the desk. Joel said he talked to J.J. McCarthy a couple days ago and said, hey, to a man, where do you want to go? What prospect is going to give you an answer to that?
Yeah, seriously, nobody since I've worked here has ever given you an answer. JJ did.
He did.
Look at that.
He told Joel.
The power of intention. He manifested that shit, man. Well done, JJ McCarthy.
He said Minnesota.
Okay, let's talk about the second move that Minnesota Vikings made round one, because, of course, they moved from 11 to 10 with the Jets to get JJ McCarthy at 10. Then they made a move from 23 all the way to 18 to get themselves Dallas Turner at 18, but rather costly, a third rounder, a fourth rounder, and a fifth rounder. As it stands right now, the Vikings only have 3 picks next year. They didn't get any D-back help in the first round, and this is a secondary that claims 35-year-old Harrison Smith, so they clearly need to address the secondary, which I'm certain that they will do today. But the question is, did they give up too much for Dallas Turner?
This goes back to something that I've talked about with you on and off air for a few years. 32 picks in the first round. Not every team has 32 first round grades for players.
Yes.
So like Minnesota, I'm just speculating. I have no idea, obviously. I'm just throwing this out there. Minnesota might have had, let's just call it, because they picked 17, might have had 17 guys available in this draft that had a first round grade. Dallas Turner might have been one of those guys. I can't help
but
think.
Very likely he would have been, right? When you look at edge rushers, when you look at the defensive guys who are capable of changing a game, we talked about Leatu Latu. You're probably throwing somebody like a Jared Verse on that list, and I think you're throwing Dallas Turner on that list as well. Those are probably your top 3 edge rushers.
Yeah. So what happens here? Colts at 15 take Latu. Seattle at 16, who, by the way, rumored to move up to try to get Michael Penix for whatever that's worth, goes defensive tackle Byron Murphy. All of a sudden, we get the little lower third on NFL Network. Oh, a little trade here.
Yeah, trade is in.
I bet Minnesota said, damn, the best defensive guy in the draft, number one defensive player on our board is available at 17. We got to move up to go and get him. They do. And it's the only reason why. Here's why I think he was the top defensive guy for them, because the cost wasn't cheap. It wasn't just swapping. It's a third and a fourth round. Like, that third rounder could be valuable next year. So I think there was an actual decent cost to move up a few spots to get Dallas Turner, but I think they had Turner arguably as the only first round graded player on their board that was still available.
I think Mike Yam illuminates something that's very important for us to recognize, listener, that if you feel like your team has sort of overdone it, given up too much for the pick, consider what they are saying by the deal that they made. And I think Mike is absolutely right. The Vikings are telling us, with the haul that they gave for Dallas Turner at 18, that Dallas Turner was the highest or one of the highest rated defensive players they had on their board. And as we've heard for years in this business, if your guy's available, do whatever you have to do to get him. Bengals fans Mike Yam are nervous that their first round pick, offensive tackle Amarius Mims, had fewer than 10 college starts, only 8, I believe. Mims is a big boy, but was this too much of a big risk?
Largest hands of any player at the combine. this year.
Is that true?
Yeah, it is.
He's got like catcher's mitts.
Yeah, 11 and a quarter.
Jesus.
What? What? Like, what is that? He's 6'7 and three quarters, 340 pounds.
Let's round up. He's 6'8.
6'8, 340. MJD says he's bigger than 340. Third player at the combine since 2003 to be at least 6'7 and at least 340 pounds with larger than 11 inch hands.
God, he's enormous.
The other guy, DeJuan Jones, and then Herman Johnson.
Does he pair that monolithic size with NFL skill set in terms of fast feet, in terms of speed to power? I realize that's a defensive end kind of thing, but he needs it at the offensive tackle position because that's who he's facing. Is he a nimble enough guy to make this worth it at 6'8", 340?
Here's my guess. This is just a guess.
Your guess is yes.
The guess is yes. My guess too, though, is the scouts were like, hey, this is pretty unique. But some concerns just about reps and can he do it? The coaches looked at that and said, well, damn, I can't teach that. We're drafting him. We'll fix the other
Correct.
Stuff. That's just my guess here, and I think he's going to be a stud.
Somebody probably said, look, this guy has Trent Williams upside, and that probably sealed the deal. Bills lose Gabe Davis and Stephon Diggs in the offseason, and then they trade back twice instead of grabbing a replacement target in round one. They allowed their arch nemesis Chiefs to take a wide receiver at 28, Xavier Worthy. And then they allow the Panthers to take yet another wide receiver off the board at 32, Xavier Leggett. Beyond having a team rule against Xavier's on their roster, does this make sense to you?
Yes and no. If it was anyone but Kansas City they were trading with, I'd be like, yeah, sure. I was joking with Chase and MJD last night. I said, man, if I'm Buffalo, I put out on my social media account when I get the call from Kansas City, hey guys, just got a call from the Chiefs. Anyone else want this pick? Because we're about to do it. Like, what? There should be a rule. You should never, like, no one should trade with the Chiefs in the first round.
Certainly not the Bengals. Right? Certainly not the Bills. Certainly not anybody in that AFC. The Ravens, none of you are allowed to trade with the Chiefs, and the Bills did.
Bro, this dude is going to be sprinting past your defense. The fastest dude ever at the combine. He's Tyreek Light. This is the perfect fit. I honestly, damn. Like, if you would have said to me.
So
like,
if you're a Bills fan and you're pissed off today, you're saying, I get it. I feel your pain.
I'm more pissed. If I'm a Bills fan, I'm not pissed off about moving back. Like, you're probably going to get like Anunoby Mitchell. First pick of round two. You're going to get your wide receiver and you got some assets for it. Fine. I don't have a problem if I'm a Bills fan moving back. I just don't want to do business with Kansas City. And they literally have the fastest dude in the NFL, on their, well, damn, I don't know. Tyreek's pretty damn fast. Look, 40 time aside, and that's what we're going to go off of. The guy ran the fastest 40 time, and he's playing with Patrick Mahomes? That would scare the bejesus out of me.
Did the Niners' acquisition of Ricky Pearsall at 31 signal a potential move, long rumored, for Brandon Ayuk? Niners fans, on the whole, want to keep Ayuk. Did the Ricky Pearsall move at 31 signal that we may see Brandon Ayuk on the move today?
2 days ago, I was a guest on a San Francisco radio station. I was like, y'all, they ain't trading him. They have a track record of drafting guys, developing guys, paying guys. They always pay them pretty close to the start of the season, but the damn deal always gets done. I'm now thinking when they drafted Pearsall, I'm like, ooh, that ain't a good sign. And look, at some point, you can't pay everyone, right? Like, there's restrictions on some of this stuff. And I can't help but think they're thinking, hey, Brandon Ayuk, sorry, dude, love you. We just can't pay you with what you're worth. And for what it's worth, he got drafted in the first round in 2020 with the 25th overall pick. Pearsall goes 31. Maybe they strike gold again.
Our tech in the room today, Sam, is a Patriots fan. He likes Drake May at 3. He wants Brandon Ayuk. The Commanders fan on the mic also wants Brandon Ayuk. So if this kid is on the move, I'll be very interested to know where he lands.
Sam, I'm sorry. I actually don't think he's going to New England. I think the leader in the clubhouse, to me, is we'll see how much power Jaden Daniels has and can wield. But those two dudes are boys. They played together at ASU. It wasn't a long time. I think it was one season crossover. But the point is, like, they're legitimately tight and friends. I can't help but think Jaden's in that front office going, yo, get my guy.
Who did the best business on day one, Mike? After the final name was called, who sat back and said, like Fat Amy in Pitch Perfect, crushed it?
happiest front office is Chicago, and only because of who they got and didn't have to make any moves. But I think for in the spirit of draft day, which is, yo, it's like a fantasy draft. Let's make some moves here. Minnesota, I give them a ton of credit. Two trades, move up, do it with purpose. Pace and purpose is a phrase we use around here. They moved up the one spot. Jeremiah said it during the draft. When Penix goes off the board, he said when the Jets started being on the clock, he goes, if I'm Minnesota, I'm picking up the phone. It's not going to cost you much, just a flip-flop. You're going to take a quarterback. We knew the Jets weren't going to take one. Move up. They got their guy. I give them a lot of respect. They get JJ. But the shrewd move to me is the Dallas Turner. You got arguably the best defensive player in this draft, moving up a couple spots and get him at 17. You saw your guy. You wanted the guy. You got your guy.
Translation? Skull. And finally, looking ahead to day two, which is about to start right after we record this recap of day one. Mike, as we said before, no running backs, no safeties, no linebackers heard their names on day one. What position group, maybe not one of those three, maybe one of those three, what position group is destined to dominate day two?
I still think there's a run of wide receivers still to come. I mean, I really do. I think there's like a second and third
round. It's that deep. This wide receiver class really is that deep. Daniel Jeremiah said,
what did he got?
He said it rather flippantly, and then it became kind of like a formalized way of addressing the depth of this wide receiver class. He said, look under your chair. There is a viable wide receiver available to just about everybody. So a run on wide receivers. I assume we're going to see a few DBs off the board. Look, we're going to see a few of everything off the board, but wide receiver may actually win the day, according to Mike Yam. As a Giants fan, what do you still want? It will be a successful remaining 2 days of the draft if your Giants do what?
I can't help but think with the 47th pick, there's something in my mind that says, hey, let's double. We'll see what the offensive line players look like. I don't know who would be available. That's still something I would keep an eye out for. And then who do you think the best running back is? Because I think you start to get into that range where you go, oh, maybe I think Jonathan, I think basically all at 47, I think all the running backs are still going to be available. So you have your pick at maybe the best running back or maybe they look if Ladd McConkey is still available. I don't think he is at that point because I'm talking about all these wide receivers. I still think D tackles could also go early in day two. Like those would be D tackle and wide receivers are the runs that I think we're going to see. But, you know, it's not necessarily a need right now for the G-men. So if McConkey is available, I'd love that or take your pick on the best running back.
A double dip at wide receiver for the Giants. That could be very, very interesting. Listener, keep in mind that we have concluded, we're about to conclude this record before the first pick is made in day two. But a couple things to keep in mind. The Packers have 4 picks on day two. That's rounds 2 and 3. My Commanders have 5, more than anybody else. No one else has more than 3 picks, at least currently, before the day begins on day two, rounds 2 or 3. I want to thank today's very special guest, Mike Yam. You have a lot of you got a lot of work to do today. Do you love this time of year?
Dude, it's the best. You know, I was just about to tease you and say work. Are you kidding me? That I got to check that clears every 2 weeks to go and talk football and watch this stuff. This is honestly, these are some of my favorite days of the year. The shows are so much fun. And so honestly, to do this with you, let's roll, man. This is great.
I think the layers of experience that we hear about and that we watch very closely from this really cool, this very advantageous position that we have of NFL roster building, of NFL team building, it's really taken on a life of its own in my eyes because it used to just be a player here, a player there. No, now I realize that you've got to take into account the past, the present, the future, the cap, all of these things, all of the things that everybody is worried about in these NFL front offices, listener, and it's easy to judge. It is so easy to say, I don't love that position. I didn't like that player, and yet I think we do ultimately have to trust in these days that our people in our front offices, our coaches, our GMs, our owners, they're leaning against the same wheel. They have hopefully an agenda that is agreed upon. They have a draft board of players that they like and trust, and they're going to make informed decisions, as you told us at the very beginning of this. And if that goes as planned, then we're going to hopefully be better than we were yesterday.
No question. Look, this is fun, right? Like, I think anyone who's listening to this podcast, like, you love the draft too, and you maybe have your own mocks. The only other thing that I would add to this conversation, we are really lucky because we got Daniel Jeremiah, Lance Zierlein certainly comes to mind because two dudes, Chad, Bucky. Look, there is a Rhett did a seven round mock the other day. I got to tell you, like, we to be around these dudes. Lance came into our green room yesterday and he just starts name check. I mean, our guys were like, damn, like the amount of homework and research. I'm telling you, like, we get access to DJ's stuff before it even hits. It really is impressive. I'm truly in awe of the minds that these guys have to be able to retain 300, close to 300 names, right, that are out there. We get a research packet that's about 300 names thick. You know, this year I'm doing TA. The last couple of years on our fast channels, I've done every single pick of the draft the last 2 years. And there's been times, and it doesn't happen often because our research team is phenomenal, two or three names aren't even in the packet. Lance just knows the dude, starts going through it. I'm like, holy mother, are you kidding me? Honestly, it's if you're a draft fan, our crew, man, I can't say enough good things about the work that they do.
With the first pick in the 2024 NFL Total Access Podcast guest draft, I select Mike Yam. Thank you so much for your time today, Michael Yam.
Oh, so much fun. Enjoy the draft.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring body wash and bar soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
And I want to invite the listener to join us next time for a complete recap of the entire 3 days, the 257 picks, the seven rounds over 3 days. Oh my goodness gracious, 32 teams, one question. Who won the 2024 NFL Draft? You know what? We can't just keep it as one question. We're going to ask a bunch of questions about the best picks, the bust picks, who drafted themselves into contention, who drafted themselves into greater confusion, and yes, who did win the 2024 NFL Draft other than us, the viewers? Thank you so much for listening today. Till next time, ciao for now. NFL Total Access is a production of the NFL in partnership with iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring body wash and bar soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.